Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We're going to talk a little bit more about flesh, about our flesh, your flesh, my flesh. We all have flesh. Unfortunately, and again, we're not talking about our bodily flesh, the body you're living in. We're talking about the crutch your soul created to control its environment and get its needs met outside of God. If you had been born knowing God, and getting all your needs met through God, spiritually, your spirit pouring into your soul and into your body, you would not have had any needs that had gone unmet. And you would never have created flesh. And that's the example that Jesus set. He was born with a spirit that was connected to his Father that poured itself into his soul and body and met the needs of his soul and body. Walking around here on this earth, his body and soul were in their proper relationship, connected to and one with his spirit. So he never had an unmet need that God could not meet, that his Father could not meet through his spirit. So he never created flesh. He never made flesh. So we have no example in him as to how to deal with flesh, how to overcome it. The example we do have, though, is what is it like to live without flesh? What is it like to be taught by Father God, by Spirit, by internal conversation with Him, by that knowing Him? What is it like to know God? And that's the example that Jesus set, and that's the example that we want to pay attention to. Not so much what he did, that was an outflow of who he was and who he was and is in relationship with. So our example that we want to follow when we talk about Jesus as the pattern son is this is what it looks like to do it right. He was sent by the Father. He was taught by the Father. He was protected by the Father. His needs were met by the Father. He was crucified by the Father. He was raised again by the Father. He ascended by the Father. Now, the Father did not do these things to him. The Father did not force his love upon his son. His Father, our Father, did not force himself on Jesus. He did not force his plans on Jesus. We know that the story of the Gethsemane tribulation, the trial, where he asked Father, can I do this another way? And Father said no. So Jesus said, okay. And it all started with that beautiful, what we call, you know, the Annunciation to Mary. This is God's plan for you. Will you do it? And she said yes. Who knows if she knew the impact of what she was saying, but she said yes. But she said yes because God asked first. Now, a lot of times you and I think that when bad things happen in our lives, it can't be God. We look around and see what's going on in our world, globally and nationally and locally. And we go, okay, either God has lost control and we come up with our own ideas on how that could happen, or this is what God wanted to happen to us, that he wanted us in a state of fear and apprehension and hopelessness. Because frankly, that's where much of the church is. There's a third option. And that option is that the purpose of what's going, yes, God is doing all this. He created both good and evil from the very beginning. There's nothing that exists that he did not intend. He didn't turn his back someday, you know, and go, oh, you know, how did sin get in there? But the only way you and I can overcome our self-controlling ways in our flesh is to come to the end of that control and let God take it. Let God do it. We even want to be in control of getting rid of the flesh. You may have a habit. You may have a struggle or a need. You may be struggling with pornography or drug addiction. You may be trying to overcome another area where you are in a relationship where you just can't seem to say the right thing or do the right thing, or the other person can't. And all you want from God is to either take away the addiction or fix you or the other person. You want a quick fix. When very often God has crafted that situation and that circumstance for his purposes. Now, sometimes it's something that he wants to, boom, heal like that. Done. Move on. But a lot of times, he wants to use that situation, that addiction, that relationship, to break your control and teach you how to depend on him, how to get your life from him. How does that start? What does it look like? How do we do that? As in every other case, it all comes down to you hearing from God. If you can't hear from God for yourself, how can you have a relationship with him? Any attempt you might make to distinguish a struggle in your life, a circumstance in your life that is something he wants you to work out yourself in dependence on him, just as Jesus did, or is this an example of your flesh rising up and trying to do it itself? The only way you're going to be able to distinguish between those two is if he says, no, this is you and I cooperating and doing it, or yes, this is the flesh, and I'm showing it to you before I remove it. You will never be able to figure it out on your own. And that's the way he wants it. If you could be a Christian without him, why would you need him? Why would you be a Christian? Why would you be in a relationship? If you could measure up to holiness, righteousness, omnipotence, omniscience, if you could measure up to who your new nature is without God, you would be God. You would be in competition with him. There would be more than one God. Instead, he allows these situations in our lives so that, and this is very often why we go from one crisis to another in the same area. We get a job, it goes well for a while, and then for whether we get tired of it or we cause problems at work, we end up getting canned or laid off or whatever. The reason very often, and if you look back over your own life, if you see, especially if you see a cycle in your life, you can't hold on to a relationship, you can't hold on to money, you have constant health issues. I can't tell you that's what it's caused by. But what I can tell you is very likely God is trying to get your attention. He wants to talk to you in that area. Because those are the areas that he uses because they're important to us. Our health, the physical realm, our finances, and our relationships. He gets our attention by what's going on in those areas. And looking back, especially, if you see areas in your life where the same thing keeps on happening over and over again, doesn't matter whether it's the exact same thing, but relationships, your health, your finances. If you can never seem to get ahead in your finances or you always feel out of control in any of those areas, odds are God's trying to get your attention. And once he gets your attention, he will train you. He will teach you how to respond to that situation. Now, sometimes each one of those situations, there may be a different cause. There may be something where he wants to do a physical healing or a generational healing, freeing of the situation. Or some information, you may need practical information, how to balance your checkbook. But what he wants you to know is it is your responsibility. And if God is getting your attention in your spirit, please know you have already given your attention. You're not running from God. You're not trying to hide from God. You're hiding, trying to hide at least, from your spirit. Our problem is not with God. It's with our spirit. Your spirit. If you are a believer, if you have been born again, if your spirit has been begotten by spirit, you are a spirit being. And in complete oneness with God, in your spirit. The problem is that's not true for your soul. There's a wall between your soul and your spirit. And God and your spirit are chipping away at it from their side. And how well that's removed is often reflected by, do we understand that that's the enemy, that wall? Do we understand that it is our responsibility to cooperate with our spirit to remove that wall? Do we understand that we are not having our soulical and sometimes physical needs met because there is that wall? Or are we distracted by the world system, by the devil? That wall is your flesh. Are we instead so comfortable with having that wall? That wall is security. Walls are secure. We lean against them. We use them to keep others out and ourselves in. They're protection. They are comfort. They are reliable. We built them so we know they can be relied on. And then here is God on the other side trying to remove something that has always given us comfort. But that wall is keeping that flow. It's keeping eternal life away from your soul. Remember, you've already received all the eternal life you're ever going to get. When you die, you're not going to get any more eternal life than you have right now. What is eternal life? It's not more life. It's not better life. It's knowing God, being one with Him. And if you're already one with Him in your spirit, you have eternal life. This is life eternal, to know Christ, to know Spirit, to know God. It's not more life. It's not forever. It's not a greater degree of quality or character or power or anything. It's knowing Him, being one with Him, being changed in your spirit. How often are you being instructed on how to address that wall, how to remove it, how to cooperate with the Spirit on the other side? Because here's one of our problems. You may be dealing with that addiction, that crisis in your life, so you may be over at that side of the wall trying to chip away at that area that you can see, okay, this is an area I need God's help in. When He's really, you're not ready for that. I want you over here. I want to heal you first. Before I free you from these things that you think are your problem, I want to expose the wounds in your life so I can heal them. So come over here to this side of the wall. We're going to knock this side of the wall down first so my life can flow into your soul and strengthen you so that you can, when I free you from your addiction, you'll be able to stand. We won't have to go through this over and over and over again for the rest of your life. When we think about it, it makes sense. He knows what you need. He knows the wounds that need to be healed. And we look at the circumstances, the wreck that we can have in parts of our life because of our wounds. And we just want to feel better. We want the pain to go away. We want stability. We want the crisis to be over. When God has created the crisis, allowed it to flourish in your life and slap you on the face, so you will turn to Him and say, okay, God, what is it we're really dealing with here? And instead, unfortunately, so often the Christian church, the organized religion, well-meaning believers, people who love us, say, that's just the devil. Or, you need to be more disciplined in your worship life. That's a big thing right now. So many people are filled with fear. Well, here's your latest worship tape. You need to be playing that 24 hours a day, even in your sleep. But if God is allowing that fear to rise in your life, He is the only one who has the response to that. It may very well be that you need to listen to worship tapes 24 hours a day. But don't be taking somebody else's word for it. Only God has the answer to that. You need to be developing your own judgment, your own ability to hear Him, your own living skills, being taught skills, education skills. How good are you at doing homework? If you can't hear God, God is your teacher. We talk about the Holy Spirit is our counselor and our comforter and the one who comes along beside us. I want you to think of him as your personal trainer. When you get up in the morning, he can set your whole day. This is what we're going to learn how to do first. This is how we're going to learn to do this. He is there with you 24/7. And we even need to change our whole perception of what Holy Spirit means. This whole idea of God being separate, he's to try to understand his character and nature with our own understanding is very often to misunderstand and misinterpret and misapply our relationship with him. But that's between you and him. We don't have a problem with however you want to relate to him. As long as you are learning to hear him direct, to speak to him, to respond to him. And when we realize that often what we're being taught is a distraction. It's to encourage dependence on a person, on a belief, so they can get control, so others can get control. Control of your money, control of your time. You know, misery loves company. And we have this idea very often that, well, as long as we're not alone, we'll be safe. But we also know that that's certainly not true. We can all be going off the cliff together. Whoever it is that you're believing, even me, nobody else can be God to you, and nobody is tasked. Nobody has been assigned that job to be God for you. There's only one shepherd, and that's Jesus himself, God himself. Is he leading you? Do you recognize his voice? And how do you learn to hear his voice? How do the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd? They spend time with him. Through good times and bad times. I'm sure you've heard how that illustration works in practical terms, where shepherds herding their sheep, even today, they will all go to a watering hole and multiple herds will all come together. And when it's time to go their different directions, each shepherd has their own song that they whistle or sing or say. And the sheep are so familiar with that song, with that voice, that they all just looked like a huge mess. How are we going to figure out whose sheep is whose? They all just start trailing off to the voice, following the voice that they know. Do you know Jesus' voice well enough to be able to distinguish his voice from all others? And it's only going to be coming from one way, hearing it, not reading it, not discussing it, but knowing, having experienced that still small voice. And there are a lot of things about God that we have to experience completely for ourselves, and then to try to categorize it, okay, this is how you hear from God. There are steps we can take, but otherwise, it's a one-on-one experience, because that's how God knows you. He created you as a unique being, and to expect him to instruct you or to know you in any other way other than in a unique personal relationship is misinterpreted. misinterpreting, misunderstanding his desire for you. His path for you is different than it is for anyone else, because he created you unique. He wants you to be unique. There's nothing wrong with the way he created your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. He likes it. But he wants it free and complete and whole and healed. And the only way to do that is to remove your flesh. Now, God can multitask. So at the same time he's teaching us how to identify and overcome our flesh through dependence on God, through dependence on him. The flesh we can only overcome through dependence on him. You can't get rid of your flesh by the strength of your flesh. Doesn't matter how much you know, how spiritually gifted you are, you can't get rid of your flesh. But at the same time he's dealing with that, there are two other enemies that he has left in your life for you to learn to overcome through your spirit, not through him. He's given you the authority, the power, the ability, everything you need to overcome these other two enemies he has already given you. And those enemies are the world system, like peer pressure and constraints of this physical being, this physical earth, our life here on this earth. He has already given you power, complete power, to overcome everything on this earth. And he's also given you power to overcome the devil. The devil was already defeated 2,000 years ago. The world system was defeated 2,000 years ago. But how are we to learn how to rule and reign as his sons, as his brother, as the joint heir with him, if we don't have something to overcome? Learning our own new nature, our new identity as a spirit being, you have to learn how to use your own judgment, your own strength, how to be a spirit being, how to rule and reign here on this earth. So you are learning to rule, again, your spirit now. Your spirit is learning to rule over your soul and learning how to reign as an earthbound being, starting with learning how to overcome our other enemies, the devil and the world system. On one hand, it's simple. On the other hand, it's hard. We don't naturally depend on God. As far as our soul is concerned, your soul is used to doing things its way. So we don't automatically turn to God. And that's where we need to start. It's such a basic thing. It's as if we were going to go out and try to run a marathon after we'd been in a wheelchair for 20 years. We have a progression. We need to be learning how to hear him, how to respond, how to test what we hear. And we need to have that expectation that the wheelchair we have been in for 20 years is not God's plan for us. Spend time listening to his voice, testing it. Lord, is that you? Oh, it's only through practice that you will be able to hear him clearly. And then recognize that the enemy that is the most in your way is your own flesh. It's that wall, and that God wants to tear it down, and that in your spirit you are already cooperating with him. But don't be trying to battle the wall out of your own understanding. Don't let other people pick the part of the wall that needs to come down first. That's between you and God. So thanks for tuning in. As always, you can get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. Have a good weekend, and I will see you next week. Thanks.